Thank you, Jen. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And Hurricane Florence has begun its assault. And Ryan Burrow is live in action right now. Ryan, you are in Fayetteville, North Carolina at this moment.
Yeah, at this time, about 90 miles northwest of Wilmington, where this thing is supposed to eventually reach landfall, although we'll see what kind of condition it's in when it actually reaches landfall. This is where it gets kind of messy. We're used to seeing these big, cyclones with an eyeball in it bump into the shoreline, but it's met by so much high pressure, a high pressure system, that what it's doing is it's kind of spiraling away and fading. It's now a Category 2 storm, and we don't know what condition it'll be in when it actually hits land. And that actually makes it messier, because more water is being dispersed. The bands are much, much wider. When you've got a nice, tight, compact hurricane, it's a little bit different of a story, but now this could be, bringing torrential downpours to areas well beyond what was expected.
And when is it all supposed to begin? I know it's been downgraded. It was a Category 4, and now I believe it's Category 2.
Category 2, yeah. It sounds like landfall is possible somewhere in the southern portion of North Carolina, around maybe the morning drive tomorrow is when the landfall is actually expected. All the outer bands are already starting to be felt along the coastline. Here where I'm at, about 90 miles away, we're expected to get 10 to 15 inches of rain. This is where Fort Bragg is. They've got a staging area for FEMA, and we've seen a lot of the evacuees coming in and actually kind of camping out and staying here. The hotel that I stayed in last night is pretty much packed with a bunch of these evacuees, as well as crews that are going to be used to and deployed to help fix the power once it goes out. They say up to 3 million people could be out of power. And right now in the hotel parking lot, there are probably about 50 of these utility trucks that have made it from Florida that are just waiting to pounce into action and need to go where they need to go.
Ryan, you said you're roughly 90 miles away, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with that said, there's been no word at all in the area you're in that there's an evacuation plan, or are they, a lot of times with these storms, because they can change at the last minute, they have like a plan B. Is that the case where you are right now?
Well, here's what we've got right now. In the county I'm in, they've got 7 shelters set up, and many of them are already full. Because of the fact that you've got up to 15 inches of rain that could fall in a span of 24 to 36 hours, if you're in any low-lying area, that's not going to bid well for you. And a lot of these people here remember what happened during Hurricane Matthew, when the floodwaters just became too intense for a lot of people, and there were a lot of rescues made. So people here, maybe not as panicked as the people along the coastline. That being said, the issue isn't the strength of this storm. The issue is the size of this storm and how much water is going to dump. You may flash back to Katrina. I mean, it wasn't actually the storm itself that was the issue. It was all the flooding and all the low-lying areas and the days and days afterwards that were the big, big issue. Same with Houston. I mean, that storm just basically kind of sat over Houston and dumped tens of feet of water, actually. Maybe not tens of inches, but feet of water on that city. And that's what the concern is right now. Do they have enough swift boats ready? Do they have enough helicopters ready and in the area to be able to make rescues if needed? Maybe not along the shoreline, but perhaps deep into the inland areas.
Our own WGN's Ryan Burrow is reporting live right now from Fayetteville, North Carolina, right near Fort Bragg. We were talking earlier about evacuation orders and people saying, no, we're going to stay with our property. And a caller mentioned, how do you evacuate if you don't have money for a hotel or a car to get out of there? You had mentioned people have arrived in shelters. Are hotels giving discounts? Do you know anything about that?
We don't know anything about that, but yeah, typically, I mean, that's the issue. The people with money, the people with the ability to leave,
yep.
The people without health concerns can go visit friends in Georgia, can go visit friends in the western part of the state, can go up to Virginia. In fact, a lot of the people that I'm speaking with here, have the means to stay at a hotel for 2-3 weeks if need be. But that's not necessarily the same situation for all of their neighbors, and those are the people that are left behind, and those are the people that are going to be filling up a lot of these evacuation shelters along the coastline. Now, they did open up some areas, including a speedway in Georgia, to help accommodate some of these people and get them out of harm's way. Because here's the problem right now is you've got this storm approaching, and we're getting to a point where the Coast Guard, the firefighters, the police department, any of these FEMA operations, the Red Cross, they can't get in right now. This is a time to be out, because once this storm hits, they're not going to be able to make these rescues. So they need these people out. If not, they need to hunker down and be able to withstand 3, maybe 4 days without getting supplies or help, because it may take that long once these storm waters start flowing in.
Ryan, Wendy and I were discussing the mindset of somebody who, even though they're told to evacuate, decides otherwise. They just decide it's their house, it's their property, they're going to do their best to stay. What do you make of those people? Have you talked to anybody who's been in situations similar to that?
Think about it this way. A major blizzard is coming to Chicago. What are you going to do? I know that there's a little bit of a difference, but, they may say this is going to be catastrophic, get out of there, and you may still stick around and say, I think we'll be fine. I've got plenty of, baby food and cat food and dog food and normal food, and heat seems to be working. And when you look outside, it's not so bad out right now. So, well, why do I need to leave now? That's the other thing, too. It's been 90s and sunny leading up to this point. We're just starting to see clouds and the breeze is starting to pick up. And, you're getting to a point of no return. And, a lot of people just don't see it, or they don't remember what happened with Hurricane Matthew or some of these other hurricanes. They don't think it's going to happen to them. And so that's the concern. Everyone is different. There are people who are going to survive this, and it's not going to be that big of a deal. But think of it, too. Surviving the storm is one thing. It's the weeks that follow, the weeks without power, the weeks without food. Yeah, you might be able to make it until, next Wednesday, but what's going to happen on Thursday and Friday, when your driveway is caked with mud and you're out of gasoline in your car and the power is still out? Those are the big concerns.
Yeah.
And the shelves are empty, I'm sure,
exactly.
By now, completely.
Yeah. And we're seeing that even before the storm. The water was out. The bread was out. It's hard to find a gas station that's operational. I talked to Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy. He said about a quarter of the gas stations are out right now. It's not necessarily supply. It's just the workers, they can't be here anymore. They got to go, so they can't keep those places open. So that's the other big
concern. Ryan, that happened very quickly. Water and gas and things like that were out within a day or a day and a half. That happened so quickly.
Yeah, I was at a Food Lion. That's kind of the jewel, I guess, here. Yeah. One of their big grocery stores. And they got a pallet in yesterday, and literally everyone was coming out with one pallet of or not a pallet, but, a carton of a case of water, 24.
And forgive me for not knowing storm surge. I really hadn't heard that term before, but that's just wind sending water flying. They're expecting the storm surge could rise up to 13 feet, which could put a home underwater to the first floor ceiling. That's a big threat as well, correct?
Yeah, that's along the coastline. That's the most dangerous part. If you've ever been to the Outer Banks in that area along the coast, Myrtle Beach, that's the big concern right now. Imagine a bathtub that you've filled up, and then you take a basketball and you drop it in there. What happens? The water pushes out and up. And that's the concern, is that water is going to start flowing into, some of these homes that are built on stilts and onto the nearby roadways. And, where's that water going to go? It'll eventually recede back. But when you add all of these, 10, 12, 24 inches of rain on top of that, it's going to take a long time.
And the Carolinas, of course, in danger. What are the other states?
Georgia, Virginia is a little bit of a concern. They're starting to back off that a little bit, although there's a lot of military personnel there, so they want to make sure that everyone is, in a good place. That's also where a big population base is. The one thing is, this isn't the size of Houston as far as Hurricane Harvey. Perhaps the population body isn't quite the same centralized as we saw with Katrina. That being said, as many as 10 million people are in this storm's path, and they think that as many as 3 million could be without power when all is said and done. So, the impact of this will be felt not just along that kind of beachy area between Wilmington, North Carolina, and Myrtle Beach. It's going to continue to creep pretty deep into the United States.
And it's so unpredictable. It's not like a hurricane's coming. Here's what's going to happen. Things can change at any moment. Good luck to you. Are you hunkered down? Do you have a big strap to keep yourself from blowing away?
We're going to see how this goes. I'm a little ways out, but once that water starts flowing, we'll probably go see some shelters. We'll probably go see how FEMA's responding. you know, the fact is, I can only go where I'm able to go. I mean, you know, if the roads are shut down, we can't get through. You know, I've got the trunk full of things just in case of, you know, there's, you know, something that comes up. But, you know, we can only go in places where it's possible to go.
Ryan, the other thing we haven't really discussed, and we only have a minute, but tourism is very, very important to the people who live in that area. And this really does make tourism a very iffy situation for the next several weeks or months.
It does. I talked with a kite surf instructor from the Outer Banks, and he was on a flight from Chicago. They had to cut their trip short so he could get back to his house and grab some documents before heading out. And, I guess the good thing is, you know, closed for business. So,
right.
You know, even though he's got to escape and miss work, it doesn't sound like there's going to be much work.
Yeah, but so that would be the best kite flying ever.
Yes, would.
You're going to end up in Georgia.
Yep. Right.
Thanks,
all right,
Ryan.
Well, be safe. It's Ryan. I just broke a pen.
Yep.
Wow. Reporting for WGN Radio and, of course, ABC News. Thank you so much. Stay safe.
See ya.
That's our own Ryan Burrow in Fayetteville, North Carolina, about 90 miles away from where they're expecting the storm to hit.
He is braver than both.
Yeah.
By far.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.